They're known as some of the original recyclers. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association is a sponsor of the Business News Hour. With members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, delivering ag parts to farmers and ranchers. NTPDA.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business. Grateful you're listening to us from wherever on the planet you happen to be. We're going to be talking about airline travel, specifically airline travel for people with non-visible disabilities. My guest is Jonathan Sutter. Jonathan is with TravelingWiki.com. We'll have links to all of this up on the radio blog, of course. We're going to talk about this organization that helps people with non-visible disabilities get on an airplane and what they do. Jonathan, welcome to the Business News Hour. Grateful you're here, sir.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is one of those chance meetings.
Absolutely.
You know, here we are in the Hotel Fort Des Moines.
Absolutely.
Having a conversation about affordable housing.
Yes.
You happened to hear the conversation and said,
yes.
Hey, by the way, I do this.
Yes.
Talk to us about what you do.
Well, we're the largest free online resource center documenting resources in U.S. airports to enable the non-visible disability community to fly. So when we say non-visible disability community, that primarily is neurodiversity, including autism, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, dementia, and ALS. We document those rooms in airports that allow those communities to access flying. There are challenges associated with noise, crowds, stimulation, and a variety of other situations in airports. We document those sensory rooms, and then we work with the TSA's disability program called CARES as their sole resource on their page for non-visible disabilities to help also people find out about the resources available at the security checkpoint.
Now, you mentioned sensory rooms, and this is something I know nothing about. I've traveled through airports most of my life.
Yeah.
And probably invisible to those of us without visible disabilities.
Absolutely.
What are they?
So it varies dramatically based on how the room area is set up. Pittsburgh has one of the most expansive ones in the world, which includes an area to acclimate an individual towards what's going to happen on the plane, including rows of seats and a mock airplane cabin. Autism, as an example, is a spectrum, so every individual situation can be unique and distinct, but for some, that can be really helpful to understand what's going to happen. There are rooms that are sensitive to noise and sound. There are areas to allow a special needs individual to have assistance in functions of daily life, in an area of privacy. There are other associated functions in that area. Something can be much smaller in some situations in a small airport where they may just have a sensory sensitive area to wait.
How many? So people understand the depth of this concern.
Absolutely.
How many people in the United States, roughly by percentage, are affected by these non-visible disabilities?
So if we look at the overall disabled population, so I was just on, we worked very closely with Drake University, and we're here in Iowa, and I was just on one of the TV affiliates here to talk about this. The Harkin Institute out of Drake, Senator Harkin wrote the ADA and has an institute here, estimates that the total disabled population is roughly 20 to 25% of our overall population.
Nearly a quarter of the population.
And that's total disability. So non-visible is a portion of the disabled community. The estimates vary based on there's differences in incidence rates and who you speak to. I think in the autism community alone, recent estimates are about 8 million people for just the narrow target of autism. But when you broaden it to neurodiversity, including ADHD and sensory processing, and then you take into account ALS, Parkinson's, dementia, Alzheimer's, some of the other areas, it's a very meaningful portion of the population.
It is. And for individuals, and please forgive my ignorance on so much of this. We do a lot of work in the business community, and so not knowing these things, please forgive me, but sensory issues that are going on airplanes, are they called triggers that would cause an individual with a non-visible disability? What types of issues?
So every situation is unique, and I'm not a clinician, so I wouldn't opine necessarily on what specifically may occur for an individual situation. My goal and Traveling Wiki's goal is to focus on Let me find out what resources exist and document those resources. I want to hit on one other thing you noted. The reason affordable housing was actually relevant to this conversation is air travel provides mobility. And when we were talking about areas of high cost of living, somebody could live potentially if they had mobility in City A as a remote worker, which has a lower cost of living, and work for company X in City B, which has a higher cost of living, and make it affordable for that individual. But if they cannot access air travel, their ability to do that, they are more vulnerable as to affordable housing in City B. So that's why this is particularly relevant, a relevant topic on as to affordable housing.
It's amazing how many of these issues are linked together.
Absolutely.
And so many people know nothing about it.
Absolutely.
And because there are so many kids and adults that suffer from these non-visible disabilities, sometimes it's being in the closet. They're just not recognized. Is that accurate?
So, I mean, the difficulty, and this is something we were discussing a couple minutes ago before we started recording, with a non-visible disability, because it is not something we necessarily understand because we can't see it. Yeah. With a wheelchair and a set of stairs, we learned in geometry class that, you know, we think about the fact that those wheels are going to have a tough time going upstairs without maybe a ramp or an elevator. But when we see somebody with autism, we don't even necessarily know the situation is relevant in that circumstance. And even if we did, we may not intuitively know how they experience the world and what are the ways we can present a potential circumstance or solution to solve the challenge. So that's why it's much more difficult for maybe us to intuitively know how to approach these situations. And that's why the building of these sensory rooms and other things that we're trying to document, we think are imperative to access, to facilitate more mobility in society.
And you mentioned TSA earlier.
Yes.
TSA Cares.
Absolutely.
What is that? I mean, so that people better understand how they can access some of this information.
Absolutely. So what TSA has done, and we have worked directly all the way to the top of the administration with Secretary Bukoski and his incredible team, what we have done is to broaden awareness of the program, which is providing access to resources at security checkpoints. So it's about preparation and giving you resources in advance to know what's going to happen at security. And then when you presumably, if you have an interest in this, what they will do is have I think what's called a passenger support specialist meet you at security and shepherd you through the process, including letting the person or persons that are screening you discreetly know about what the circumstance is. So there's an approach towards the situation that's sensitive to the particulars of that particular passenger.
Passengers that are traveling on airplanes and going through checkpoints, would they be aware of this? This is really an issue that affects so many people.
Absolutely.
But if you don't know where to go, that's kind of a problem.
Yeah, and part of this is we view some of our responsibility as making individuals aware of a very complex ecosystem, because anytime you travel, there are at least three parties, if not more, involved. And it's probably at least four parties, because there's the airport you leave from, which is one set of stakeholders. There's an airport you arrive at, which becomes the origin of your return, and that discounts the fact that you may connect somewhere. So that's two parties by itself, plus the airline, which controls what happens on the inside of the plane, plus TSA, which controls security. So you have at least four parties. It's a complex ecosystem, and what we're trying to do with TravelingWiki.com is to broaden awareness of resources that are present at all of those circumstances, because each individual party is thinking about what happens for their silo. For their circumstances, we're trying to broaden it out.
Got it. Jonathan Sutter, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest, TravelingWiki.com. Yes, we will have links to that up on the radio blog. How long has TravelingWiki.com been around?
We have grown in about last 6 to 8 months. We've grown dramatically. In those 6 to 8 months, we've met with senior officials at the Obama and Biden White House, 9 current or recent presidential candidates. As a matter of fact, standing right behind you, I had a conversation with Governor Hutchison when he was running for president about this. But we've met with about, as I said, the White House senior officials, recent White Houses, 9 presidential candidates, recent or current, 9 U.S. senators' offices, probably a 10th and 11th coming up over the coming weeks. We've met with about 50. We've engaged with about 50 media outlets. We are now in 11 languages, providing free resources in 11 languages for, as I said, autism, ALS, Parkinson's, dementia, Alzheimer's, and all other non-visible disabilities.
It is a fascinating conversation, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you've received some desperate information about how airline travel can affect individuals with non-visible disabilities. And to start to understand how broad that topic is just really amazing. A final question for you. I mean, you've been around for 6 to 8 months. You've been moving fast.
I have been, this has been an incredible, because I had been working two things at once. I'm now focused. This has become so all-encompassing. I am, putting as much effort as I possibly can into this. I view this as something that is imperative. I think mobility and access to air travel is something that empowers individuals. A young individual, I volunteer taught in many, many years. When I talk to 17-year-olds about what they think about in terms of careers they can access, if they think that air travel is like a rock concert and the sound would be too much for them,
right,
they may rule out, they might say, I can't be a scientist. And that's why we think not only providing access, but ensuring people know they can have access to air travel becomes imperative for all of these communities.
As you've been doing this work, final question for you, Jonathan. What about funding? How is this funded?
So we are actively seeking grant funding right now. That's part of our work. It's part of, I'm managing about 15 different balls in the air right now.
Yeah.
But that's part of our active work. That's part of why we're in Iowa. That's part of why we've started have local office presence in Iowa, we've started an autism hotline that with an Iowa, an Iowa relationship. We've started to work on social media. We're trying to engage, meet people where they are.
Sure.
And engage for a variety of ways, I think 8 or 9 different ways to try and grow funding and to try and promote awareness.
Fascinating conversation, ladies and gentlemen. Jonathan, thanks so very much for spending time with us. Another chance meeting. I tell people all the time, nothing happens just by happenstance.
Absolutely.
They're all directed. And somewhere along the line, you were directed to be in the same room that I was as we were talking about affordable housing.
Yeah.
And then backtrack into this about air travel for people with non-visible disabilities. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to be here.
I am sure that you, along with me, learned some amazing things during that conversation with Jonathan Sutter, S-U-T-T-E-R. You can find out more about his work at travelingwiki.com. That's travelingwiki, W-I-K-I.com. That's a wrap for today. Thanks so very much for joining us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now was arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Jonathan Sutter, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.